Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace.
Lift up your two hands and stay after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, as your Word is preached, the eyes of my understanding are enlightened. I behold Jesus, your Son, in the written Word, as he beholds me in himself. Christ Jesus is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Kindly be seated. Praise God. I want to appreciate Dr. Phil and his wife, Lady Shakaina, for the invite. Let's appreciate Dr. Phil. Oh, you can do it better unto them. Hallelujah. The currency of the kingdom is honor. The currency of the kingdom is honor. What you don't honor, you can't attract. One of the things that believers must be conscious of is that God uses men. And the men God used, whether you like it or not, it is his choice. You can dislike a man and God decides that your blessing is through that man. That's the most dangerous part. You don't determine how or who God will use to bless you. You don't determine how or who God will use to bless you. You don't. And because of that, disliking somebody is at your disadvantage. That's why strife is one of the strongest weapons of the devil. If we don't talk, if we are not in good terms, it is easier for us not to be a blessing to each other. And you can't be blessed from anybody you speak ill of. The person can put his hand on your head, but you can't receive. Because the things of God flows through honor. Jesus went to his hometown. And the Bible is so amazing. It shows us that he's coming from a place that miracles had happened. Then the Bible says to us that in his own town, he couldn't do miracles. Why? Is it that the anointing has gone down? No. The Bible says because the people did not receive him. Receive, is it welcome? He says, oh, you are welcome, or God. No. The Bible says if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, if you receive a man of God in the name of a man of God, that means you don't take out of your sight how God sees the individual. To be blessed by a man, you have to see the man in the person's office or how God sees the person. It's very important. I said to them yesterday, Peter is interesting. He's just like some of us. Jesus says virtue has left me. Peter is arguing with Jesus. Some of you, you can even quarrel with God. Your overknow, it don't pass human level. You are walking with Jesus. Jesus says somebody touched me. Peter is saying, how can you say somebody touched you when you are in the midst of crowd? How can you say? The problem is not that somebody didn't touch Jesus. Or better still, is Peter saying Jesus is lying? Should we go that road? That Peter, you're saying Jesus, stop lying. The problem is Peter has become too used to Jesus. That his touch that he used to value before, he values no more. So he won't expect what he plays down to be a blessing to somebody. Sometimes what you don't value, somebody celebrates. And because they celebrate, they are blessed by it. When you're offended by somebody, you can never be blessed by the person. You will never see what God is doing in their life. So honor is key in our walk with God. The difference between the people who held Jesus' hand and nothing happened, and the woman who held Jesus' garment and 12 years problem came to an end, was the fact that she saw him as the Son of God. You can see him as your cousin. I learned from my pastor. So my wife, no matter how close we are, when we are talking about ministry things, she calls me sir. If you don't know how to shift, you can't be blessed. Two. And you should be wise as a Christian. Be wise. We are going to be dealing with spiritual things. That's why I'm giving you this intro. The spiritual things move by honor. Jacob was tired on his journey. He took a stone, used as a pillow, he slept. And angels were ascending and descending. When he woke up, he said, "The Lord was here, but I didn't know." What it means is that this week, in God's wisdom, maybe it is your week that he has decided to touch your life. But the problem has never been God. The problem will be you. You can choose this week to be a very busy week for you. You can't come. So it's not God who has not decided to impact your life, but you are running your life on your own terms. This program was organized by your pastor through prayer. I have prayed, he has prayed, the church has prayed. It means that God is ready to do. Now, if God is ready to do anything, what will be left is the people to receive what God is ready to do. Please follow me. We are not in Afghanistan. Nothing will happen. Feel free. Or Israel. Or feel free. Hallelujah. It's going to be a glorious week. Things will happen here that you've never experienced before. I'm telling you. I know what I'm talking about. It's going to be a glorious week. Don't be distracted. Don't let anything... story, oh, sometimes when programs like these are organized and God wants to do something, for whatever reason, somebody will get sick in your house, that will take your time. It's like that. Hear me. If you are sick, let them put you in a car and bring you. Don't let anything stop you from attending this week. Because when today is the 2nd of December or 3rd, 3rd December 2023 will never come again in this life. So whatever is in today that you miss, how do you recover? Somebody will be ministered to today. Imagine the person didn't come. It's not God who did not decide to be a blessing to the person. But God can't bring you from your house. You have choices. God didn't create robots. He created human beings with will that you choose what you want. So even though he wants to bless you, you choose whether you be blessed or not. And that one is not on God's side. Are we clear? Now let's get to God's word. For the next 4 days, I'll be speaking with the theme Holy Ghost Meetings. Holy Ghost meetings. Or believers' meetings. It's either called Holy Ghost meetings or believers' meetings. The question is, what happens at Holy Ghost meetings? What should I do in a Holy Ghost meeting? And what we'll be doing in this week is we'll be looking at Holy Ghost meetings by precepts and examples. Holy Ghost meetings by precepts and examples. And I will try and take it step by step, teaching the believer how to live in that reality. There is a reality in our Christian life where the believer enjoys Holy Ghost meetings. There are different kinds of meetings. We have a teaching meeting where the word of God is taught. We're strictly teaching. Jesus did it several times. He taught. And then we have prayer meetings where we pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says the disciples of Jesus saw Jesus praying. And then when he had finished praying, they asked him, "Master, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." And note this and write it in capital. Everything in our Christian walk is taught. Everything in Christianity is taught. Everything in Christianity is taught. So even prayer, you have to be taught how to pray. Some people, the only kind of prayer they know is killing witches. So when you come and say, "We are going to pray that souls will be won," they don't have the edge to pray. Say, "We are going to our Father's house." Hey, hey. Even if they are sleeping, they'll wake up. No. You have to be taught how to pray. So the disciples of Jesus asked him to teach them how to pray. So we have teaching meetings, which is the fundamental or foundational meeting. As a church, the base of Christianity is teaching. It is upon teaching meetings all other meetings are held. So there's the teaching meetings, and teaching will help us to do the prayer meeting. And then we have the evangelistic meetings. That is when we go on outreach. So there's the evangelistic meetings. That's more of soul winning, crusades. Are you here? And then we have what we call Holy Ghost meetings. Or let me add another one. The one we held yesterday, where we have workers meeting. You see, even though Jesus had several disciples, 120, 400, 12, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he went to 3. There are certain meetings, it's not for everybody. It's for selected few. And the things they saw during that experience, he said, "Tell no man." Meaning that even though the disciples were 12, the people that were not here, don't tell them. So there are certain meetings that deep things are shared that is not for everybody. Because information also has to do with maturity. Information has to do with maturity. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 12, 13, he says, "I have yet many things to tell you. You cannot bear them now." So there are things some people can't bear them now. Then he says, "How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into what? All of the truth." Jesus. Are you here? So we have Holy Ghost meeting. What is a Holy Ghost meeting? Holy Ghost meetings are meetings where the Word of God is given first place, and then the Holy Ghost is given a free course. The Word of God is taught, then the Holy Ghost, we allow the Holy Ghost. Today is your special day. Thank God for tomorrow. But Holy Ghost meeting, you don't put time on it. So God, what will happen today is that I have to pause so that you come and dance. Even if God has a word for you. Do you get me? Yeah. Holy Ghost meeting, the Word of God is taught, then the Holy Ghost is giving a free course. Because in Holy Ghost meeting, some people cannot walk home. Because the Holy Ghost can take charge. It's in the Bible. People are knocked off. We have service, we have Holy Ghost meeting, and some people in church will come with their drivers because they know they can't drive home. Why? They are open for anything God wants to do. Because sometimes you are too rigid. You don't open yourself up. Look, see, some of you, there are certain diseases no medicine can cure. And God wants by the Holy Ghost to do an operation on you. But you are looking at your watch. Some people sit in church as if they are referees every 2 minutes. You know football referees? They're watching. They want to go home. Imagine God wants to bless you, but you don't have time. Several years ago, I was very popular. I was very, sorry, close to Governor Mechi when he was governor in River State. And we're so close that I go to even his bedroom. Then for a security reason, and he gave an instruction that anybody that comes to the government house, your phone should be seized. So I thought, they me, I am they. He said, Papa, give out, give them your phone, give them your phone. But you know what? I didn't bother. Because when I spend time with him, I go back to Ghana smiling. Let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. Now my phone, sometimes I even want to dash them the phone. Because by the time I'm going home, my package can buy a phone company. So if you want to have my phone, this way you say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you, you add your story to it. I give you every breath, you give everything. So when you come to Holy Ghost meetings, you have to be ready for God. That whatever you want to do, I am ready. Are we okay? So I'm going to take you through precepts and steps in Holy Ghost meeting. Next point. What should I do in Holy Ghost meeting? So I said we'll look at what happens in Holy Ghost meetings. The things that will happen that maybe I am not used to. You can be very elite but ignorant in the things of the Spirit. Some people think when you see people for, it means they are possessed. Sometimes it's where you are coming from and what you are used to. But not every time that people fall under the power of God that implies that they are possessed. The Holy Ghost can take charge of your life that you lose control. Let me give you a simple parable. One of the things that is used to describe the Holy Ghost in the Bible is wine. So Paul says, do not be filled with wine, but be filled with what? The Holy Ghost. Consistently all through his epistle, you will see that wine is used as a parable or an example to the Holy Ghost. If you want to see that somebody is drunk, is the fact that they lose control. Proverbs says that give wine to a man and he will talk plenty. So in Holy Ghost meeting, when people are filled with the Holy Ghost, they will speak. Drunkard one is talking rubbish. But this one, you speak by the Spirit. Things that nobody knows on the physical, but God is doing or about to do, will be revealed when you are full of the Holy Ghost. One common thing, whether you are Ghanaian, American, Nigerian, drunkards like singing. Several years ago, I organized a crusade. I was the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and everything in the crusade. I arranged the chairs, did everything. I led the praise. I did the open prayer. So during the praise and worship, some people were passing by, and they saw that the pastor was suffering. So they decided to support me. I didn't know who they were. So they just took the microphone and said, Pastor, we go help you, go help you. So when I'm leading the song, Song of Praise, imagine if I sing, Ibare Jesu, Ibare, then they'll respond. I remember what they said, we don't like that one, we don't like that one. They were speaking in the they were speaking in the microphone and argue with Pastor, take their song, take their song. So, information is very important. It is important to know spiritual things. When you are ignorant, you err. Matthew chapter 22, verses 29. Turn your Bibles there. Matthew 22, 29. Jesus said this about the Pharisees. Matthew 22, 29. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing what? And when you don't know the scriptures, what will happen? Know what? The power of God. Some people are not responding because they are used to coming to church and they are projecting. You have to learn to familiarize yourself with the Bible. Look at James chapter 1, verses 13. He says, let no man say, when I'm tempted, I am tempted of God. He says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But if a man is tempted, is when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 15 says, then when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Can we read 16 together? Ready, go. Do not err, my beloved brethren. 17, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? And cometh down from who? Father of light, of whom there is no variable, neither shadow of turning. So you can err in information. You can err in information that you have. We are talking about spiritual things. So you can err in information concerning spiritual things. As a human being, we are all open to different information from different sources. And some of us, our challenge is not that what we are hearing is a problem, but what you have heard before you are hearing what you are hearing. Your challenge is not what you are hearing, but what you have heard before. Sometimes it is even the things that you have practiced. We have people who still believe that a Christian can go to hell. It's good. We still have people who believe that even though Jesus has died for our sins, you still have to do something before your sins are forgiven. So if I come and tell you today that Jesus paid for all your sins, you have a problem with me. The problem is not that I will quote scriptures and tell you that Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is that the reason why Jesus came was to pay for sins. So if he pays for sins, then what sins again is the reason why I should suffer? Isaiah says that the chastisement of our sin was put upon him. Chastisement means punishment. So if the punishment of my sins was put upon Jesus, how then is God punishing me for my sins? So it is what you know before that makes what you hear, even when scriptures are open to you, to be a problem. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity. So the punishment, the pain Jesus went through, it was not for his pronoun. Not his, our. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 17, which is long, let me move downwards. In 18, he says, to which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. That's not the one that really shook me. It's the verse number 21. The Bible says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to what? To be sin for us, not for himself. So that you and I, who are sinners, may be made what? A righteousness of Christ. Galatians chapter 2, the verse number 20 and 21. Galatians says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at the next verse 21. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by keeping the law, then what happened? See, me, I love when women talk. So let's go to Amplify. See what the woman said. Ladies and gents, because you don't know, Amplify, it was written by a woman. This is man talk. See a woman. Amplify. He says what? I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. He says, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by, still, look at verse. Adherence to, reliance on, and complete trust in. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 21. What did the woman say? Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of a minor importance and defeat its very purpose, I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace, unmerited favor of God. For if justification, righteousness, acquitted from guilt, comes through observing the ritual of the law, then you got me? So, can I get a reader who will help me? Get a microphone. Hear me. So, if you hear a man of God say things you are not used to, you may even call him a heretic. Because you have been told, though, that you have to even give sin offering. That your offering can give you right standing with God. Try. It is well. Galatians, okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Paul says what? We're still doing Holy Ghost meeting. I want you to understand how wrong information can affect. The reason why I'm saying this is that I'm taking you to a place to understand that you were a prophet long ago, but you didn't know. Galatians 5, from verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified freely by faith, we have peace with God. He says, you have been justified what? Freely. Justification implies having a right standing with God. So he's not going to one man. I was going to say, Father, it's not going to a man and going to confess your sins that gives you a right standing with God. You have been freely justified. It says, how was I justified? Through, look, it says, by faith, truth. Through what? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, am I clear? Can I move on? So what you have heard before, or what you have been practicing, will make you hear an information and it will bring confusion in your mind. So Paul said, let me move to my scripture for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Paul says, now concerning spiritual, I will not have you ignorant. You see, if you use the King James Bible, he uses the word spiritual gifts, and the gift is italicized. Anytime you read your Bible and you see italicized words, it implies that it was not in the original manuscript. Sometimes it's for easy reading. Now, I used to do this error. I used to use English words to explain Bible words, but they are always not correct because the Bible was not written in English. In fact, when the Bible was being written, the English language did not exist. Even the English people make language. So the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. And there are some words that in English its meaning is different from other languages. I am naturally from the Ashanti Kingdom. I realized recently that in our Ashanti language, there is no word for cousin. Very interesting. That the English word cousin, which is your father's brother or sister's child or mother's brother or sister, we don't have it in our local dialect. We rather use either brother or sister. So I refer to my cousin as my brother. So if I tell somebody he's my brother, they will be thinking, ah, is it your, is it same father? Or because we don't have, but if I said cousin, I don't need to explain. Am I making sense? Yes. So there are certain words that are used. If you don't get the root word, you may not understand it properly. So the better way of understanding words, even dictionary, does not give you an accurate definition of words. It gives you probable meanings. Let me explain why. Words find its meaning in sentences that they are placed in. I like playing Xbox. No, now I play FIFA 5. I play FIFA 23. I'm very good by the grace of God. Yes. I don't go to club. I don't do all these things. What I do is my hand. I score, go, scream, and I get excited. Now, why am I saying this? So, I went to America to preach for a pastor who I see as a mentor, and he told me his son is also very good at the game. So we went to play, and I scored a very wonderful goal. The young boy said, "That's sick, man, that's sick. How can the goal be sick? Because where I'm coming from, sick means you are not well." So, in fact, I was getting a bit offended. Because the guy kept saying, "Prof, that's sick, man, that's sick." Me, I'm sick? Or who is sick? Then the father told me that it's a slang now. That sick means wow or awesome. I say, change. So words find their meaning in sentences they are placed in. If you go to the office and your boss says, "I have to be at the airport at 9 o'clock. And you say, "Sir, this is your cup of tea." If you say, "This is your cup of tea," and you don't show him a beverage, just pack your things and you go home and see your mama. Are you getting it? But if you say, "This is your cup of tea," and you give a beverage, it's different from Nayo. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why you should be careful with words when you read them, so you don't jump into conclusions in Scripture. He says concerning spiritual. He had used spiritual in chapter 2. Let me first go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, he says, "I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal." That means spiritual was a word he used for a group of people. That is 1 Corinthians 3:1. "Hi, brethren, when I came to you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." He's used this spiritual thing here. But when you then go and read in chapter 2, look at something. 1 Corinthians. Please read 3, 1 and 2. Then I take you to the 2. He says, "I couldn't speak unto you as unto what? But as unto..." Even as unto what? Babes in Christ. So he's using it to refer to a state. But when you look at chapter 2, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the verse number, it may be start 11. He says, "For what man knoweth a thing, save the spirit of the man which is in the man himself?" Continue. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, save of God." He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God." "That we might know the things that are what? Freely given unto us." Continue. Which things what?
We also speak.
Not in the words which man speaketh,
but which the Holy Ghost
speaketh. What?
Comparing
spiritual things. So what he is saying is that spiritual here is a person, spiritual here is an information. The word compare there means interpreting. So interpreting spiritual things to a spiritual man. So one word, different meaning. Are you here? So when Paul says concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual activities, I don't want you to be ignorant. He's saying that if you are a born-again Christian, you should not be ignorant of spiritual things. Don't forget that. A born-again man must not be ignorant of spiritual things. I'm sorry, the part of the world we come from, Africa, when you only talk about spiritual things, we are talking about jazz. I'm not talking about that one. I have a businessman. He's a friend. He called me one day, "Prof, you have to come to my house." I said, "Why?" "I'm busy." He says, "Prophet. Prophet. This one, now only you." "Really? Am I God?" I said, "What is it? You give me an idea why I should come. Because the distance from his house and my house is very far. Why should I come?" He says, "He woke up. This new project he's building, somebody has used blood to mark the whole building. So even the workers, everybody is afraid to go near the building." He begs me, "Have you bring oil?" Now, wow. I told you should give me 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes, I heard it's nothing. So I called him. I said, "She didn't work. It's nothing. She work." He said, "Ah, Prophet, do you know my enemies?" I said, "It's nothing." He didn't listen to me. I didn't hear from him. He caught the line. I went on to do my work. 3 hours later, he called me. He said, "Ah, you're a prophet." I said, "Before Uncle." I said, "What's the problem?" He says, "One of the workers gathered boldness to go close. When he got close, he realized that a dog had given birth. And when it was struggling, he used his body to..." We are too superstitious that we think everything is jazz. So we know more of negative things of the spirit than things that concerns you and I. So Paul says, concerning spiritual things of who you are, you should not be what? Ignorant. Don't be ignorant as a child of God. You've been a Christian for how long? You don't even know that you have the Holy Spirit. He said, I was telling them, you're a Christian, you don't have two spirits. No born-again Christian has two spirits. You have only one. And that one spirit that is inside you is the same one inside God. Hear me, I'm saying, before Jesus, you had your own spirit. Because born again doesn't happen to your body. That's why if you are ugly and you get born again, not the same. You go what to eternity. One of the things I've been worried about, my dear, one of the things I have been worried about, you see, I didn't choose my height. Hear me, oh, you're laughing at me. Maybe my own is height. Your own. I'm just telling you. A probable future. Probable future. Probable. Don't think in heaven you'll be taller. You see, in this generation, they are doing plastic surgery. They forget them more. The one your mama gave you. Now that one you go take go heavy. You feel like go and add bomb bomb, go and add anything on that day. you are laughing. I started with myself, so you're happy. You see, I'm coming to you. I'm telling you, yo. My pastor will say, Ila, Ila, Ila. Hey, here, let me show you something. You see, salvation is in three stages. Or my pastor calls it three tenses in salvation. There's the past, present, and the future. And the future tense of salvation deals with our body. The reason why you are saved and you still die physically is not because you don't have eternal life. There is a set day where you have a glorified body. So when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20, he says, your body which he had purchased with his blood, there is a new housing. You know how you buy a phone, if it's old, you get your new housing. There's a new housing God has bought for you, but you won't have it now till what people call rapture, that day, last day. He'll give you that body. But what Jesus did is, he came to show us how our end will be like. So when Jesus died and resurrected, he resurrected with a glorified body. Are you here? Do you remember that when Jesus died, because he didn't have the old body, they were in a room they have closed, but he entered. Before, he couldn't enter a room like that. Because the resurrected, which is an example of what will happen to us, is that body he had. But my challenge was that Jesus came with those holes. Oh, you have not been reading. Me, I've been checking everything. Oh. You remember when Thomas told him, I don't believe he's risen, except I see. Share you get. So you be eating anyhow. Or you think Holy Spirit will do plastic surgery for you? Holy Spirit has important things to do, not the glorified body that Jesus came with. When Mary saw him, John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. He says, Rabboni. She could recognize Jesus. Good. Let me see this one here. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, if you are bored, you will recognize you with that. You are bored. Okay. I didn't say Dr. Phil was bored. I'm just telling you. You have faith, okay? Have it, you need it. You need it. I've been visiting my father to just make sure he doesn't have, so that I know that. If you want to see the end of your wife, look at your mother-in-law. Ah, is it not her who gave birth to you? If you want to see the old age of your wife, do you go and look at the auntie? Ah, you look at you, you see. It's as simple as that. So concerning spirituals, Paul said, we shouldn't be ignorant. Few things as I wrap up, as my introduction. Number one, anybody who is saved, the day you got saved, you encountered the Holy Ghost. You can't be saved without the Holy Ghost. Nobody can be saved without the Holy Ghost. When the gospel was preached to you, it was preached by the Holy Ghost through the person who preached it. When you accepted the gospel that you believed, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Sister, read for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. He says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. He uses a curse first before 1 Corinthians 12, 3.
No man speaking by the Spirit of God saith,
and no man can say
Jesus is the Lord
except
by the Holy Ghost.
Did you hear that? That means when you accepted Jesus as Lord, it was by what?
The Holy Ghost.
I'm letting you understand, I'm building that platform so we grow on it tomorrow, that every Christian has encountered the Holy Ghost and you have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, the first encounter between you and the Holy Ghost was when the gospel was preached. It is the Holy Ghost that made you say, Jesus is Lord. Then after you said it, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1:13, sorry. 1:13. He said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye, you heard the word of truth, the word, the gospel of your salvation, whom also you believed.
You are sealed with the Holy Spirit.
You were what? Sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. So when you believe Jesus, God gave you the Holy Spirit. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. Don't forget this. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5.
When the fullness of time
was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, he to redeem them that were under the law. Look at verse 5. Continue, 5. 6. He says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into where? Into where? So where do you have the Spirit of God? Are you getting it? You have the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God. Nobody can teach you otherwise. You have it. So Holy Spirit is not a prayer point I pray. Father, give me your Spirit. For what? I have it. You don't pray for what you have. You acknowledge what you have. Is somebody here? Say, I have the Spirit of God. Let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? So if you are looking for God's address, it's you. Did you hear that? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, it does where? Is not a visitor in you. The Spirit of God resides inside of you. Say, the Spirit of God resides in my body. Look, some people think the Holy Spirit, because you lied, then the Holy Spirit left. Yeah? The Bible says, I will give you my Spirit who will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit that was given to you abides with you for what? Let me tell you something. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He says, not by any righteousness that we have done, but God. Look at it. Ah, God's word is sweet. That's why you need to get a Bible.
You need to get a Bible, oh, get a Bible, oh, get a Bible. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He says, not by works of righteousness that what? That we have done. He says, but according to his mercy, he has done what? He has saved us. And how did he save us? So God used the Holy Spirit as the cleaning machine. So whilst the Holy Spirit was coming to live inside you, because God can't live in a dirty container. So the entering of the Holy Spirit in your heart is the cleansing of your body. Somebody here? One more. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. See, when your mind is filled with legalism, you quote scriptures in part. The one that they want to use to let you know you are a sinner. You don't quote the full one. Look at verse 10. That's what people quote. People like quoting verse 10. They don't quote verse 11. No. Go to 9. 9, 10. He says, no. Know you not that? This is popular scripture of legal people. Oh. When they want you to know, you go to hell. Which heaven is not for their father or their mother. Some people, they preach as if heaven is part of their father's inheritance. That they don't want anybody to enter there. So they say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators. All adulterers. All adulterers. Even they don't understand that word. No abuse. No abuse. Can what? But he says, and such. This was what we were. Hold on. I beg you, don't spoil the message. Hold on. Biko, hold on. He says, such were some of you. But you have changed. He didn't say you have changed. Did he say you have repented? No, listen, you are not getting me. That's why I said don't clap first. He says you were a fornicator. He didn't say, and when you were a fornicator and you changed. No. He says, but you are. That means he, irrespective of what I was, he decided to what? Wash me. Continue.
But you are sanctified.
He says he didn't just wash me. He sanctified. The word sanctified means you are made a saint. Continue. He says you are what? So the fornicator who missed Jesus is washed by Jesus, sanctified by Jesus, and then he says, I put a right standing between you and God, that from now on, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He says, but ye are justified in the name and by glory. That's what you are. So when he reached the verse 17, after telling you what he has done for you with the Holy Spirit, he says what? He says, if you are a sinner and God joins you to himself, what have you become? So do you have two spirits? You have what? So the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which is God's DNA, which is God's power, is where? So do you carry power in you? Oh, I can't hear you. Do you carry God's ability in you? Don't let anybody play you down. No. God's power is his spirit. Ability to know things is God's spirit. Why? God is a spirit. And that spirit, that abilities of God, is the one inside you. The reason why you can't do the things that Jesus did,
The reason why you can't do the things that God does is because they have told you you are not what God has made you. So you think hearing God is a very special thing that is for special people. You think you are too sinful for God to even hear your prayer. The Bible says a double-minded person can never receive anything from God. So if you are going to pray and even think that you don't even qualify to stand before God, how do you get prayers answered? How would you have the courage to lay hands on your child when your child is sick than looking for a prophet's number to pray for your child, when the same spirit that is in the prophet is inside of you? If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it does what? It does what? So it is not another spirit, though. It's the same spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's that same spirit, though, that is inside of you. Say, I am a carrier of God. I can hear you. Say, I am a carrier of God. I carry God's power. So is it not an insult for somebody who carries the power of God to see a witch and be afraid? Is it not an insult to God that you think before you shook, because you shook a diabolic person, your business will fail? You don't know who you are. You don't know what you carry inside of you. You don't know what God has made you. The devil is always out there to misinform you, like he did to Adam. He's always been the devil's weapon. Sadly, Nigerian movies have painted the devil in a wrong way. You think the devil speaks with fire in his mouth? No. There's no record of it in the Bible. The devil's strongest weapon is words. The first time the devil ever came in the scene in the Bible, he said. And anytime he speaks against what God has said. So he said, has God said? Has God said? So if you want to know the devil is after you, know what he is saying against what God has said about you. God says you are righteous, he will make you feel you are a sinner. God says you are accepted, he says, are you sure? Are you sure you are a Christian? If you are a proper Christian, how come? My friend, it is what God says about me that I believe. Whose report will I believe in? I believe the report of the Lord. I have the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells inside of me. The power of God. My last scripture for today, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prays for Christians. And from my pastor, Pastor Chris Yegu Nainka, it's been my prayer for the past 6 years. Every day I pray it. The number one need of every believer is knowledge. What you don't know, something may belong to you, but because you don't know it's yours, you can even lose it when you shouldn't lose it. Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. From verse 15. He says, I cease not to pray for you. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Is that what he says? Mm-hmm. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. The eyes of what? Your understanding will be what? Will be enlightened so you can what? What is the hope of his calling? What the riches of his inheritance in the saints? He continues. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According, which he wrought when he raised him from the dead and set him upon his own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. And he has, continue. That which is to come.
And he has put all things under his feet. And he has given Jesus to be the head of what? All things. To who? To who? To who? So to you, if you are the temple of God, he's saying that all the power of God has been given to who? This week, starting from today, you will see the power of God. You didn't hear what I said. You will see the power of God. You will see the power of God. Please, read that last sentence. I've told you, I told them yesterday. Let me repeat. Repetition is for clarity and emphasis. Hear me. The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. So we wouldn't have had chapter 2. It would have continued. So look at the last sentence you read. He has given him to be the head. You see, if you have a Bible, you read your Bible, light or no light, you know the way. Some of you are waiting for your Bible to come. My sister, you get what I'm saying? He says, you have he quickened. But before he says the you have to join the last sentence of the last chapter to it because there were no chapters. It's a letter. Nobody write letter with chapters and verses. Dear John, chapter 1. How are you doing today? Verse 2. Did you travel as you planned to do? Verse 3. No. For memorization, that's why the interpreters from Greek Hebrew to English put those verses there. So when you get the original manuscript, it doesn't have chapters. So it's supposed to be, who is the fullness all in all? You. So he's referring to you, the believer. And he says, you has he given life. The word quicken means, he says, you that he has given all this power is the one he has given life, who you were once in your trespasses and sin. But what? According to the fruits of your
The spirit that now worketh
in the children of disobedience.
The lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind.
But God,
we're by nature children, children of nature.
But God who is rich in mercy, according to, I've closed. Hallelujah. Say, I carry the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of me. The power of God resides in me. Rise up and just begin to speak in the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is speaking in the Spirit. It's a language of your spirit. Because you are of the Holy Ghost. You are of the Holy Ghost. You are in the Holy Ghost. You are by the Holy Ghost. I am a spirit man. I am. Just begin to bless God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Yes, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'll take just 10 extra minutes of your time. Yes, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.